Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Food and Stuff, read by Gretchen Miller, featuring Green Smoothie Girl and Smitten Kitchen websites today. We're going to start off with a recipe from Smitten Kitchen for spinach quiche. After a week that felt nothing short of chaotic and angsty, this weekend was just what the overtangled brain ordered. Saturday, we headed to the surprisingly empty and ochre-tinted foliage-deprived Brooklyn Botanic Garden for a few hours. Still wandering around snapping up this and to contribute my quota of flower pictures to the internet was turned out to be exactly the antidote that my week called for. Alas, no day could be perfect without cooking for the people I love. I insisted upon pulling together dinner for my husband and sister-in-law before heading out to see the Prestige. Along with the reheated, stinkastic galette leftovers and the best pantry staple, Caesar salad, and some sort of miracle, I managed to get my favorite quiche together in under an hour. I've been making this spinach quiche for so long, I feel almost possessive of it, forgetting that somewhere other people must too, and now I'm encouraging you also. It's fantastically simple. 3 everyday cheeses, some green onions, and a box of frozen spinach, and keeps so well. It's actually tastier the next day with the flavors cool, settled, and happily enmeshed. Don't be put off by its overly healthy and wholesome appearance. It tastes like a treat, and I can't wait to feast on it with a green salad for lunch this week. On Sunday, I finally peeled back the cover of the November Gourmet. I've had it a whole 5 days. I'm such a slacker. And I became so overexcited. I nearly ate the pages. Root vegetable gratin, pumpkin muffins, s'more pie, Brussels sprouts with shallots and mushrooms. I burst rhythmically from the back seat of the car on the way out to my in-laws. "Breathe, Debbie," my husband feebly attempted. "Poppy seed sweetbread, Barbara Streisand." Unable to restrain myself any longer, it had been a whole 45 minutes, you see, I simmered the Dominican beans at my in-laws to accompany our dinner, and while I have no pictures, you'll have to trust me that they're delicious, a recipe worth clipping. However, this still left me with nearly a quarter of the page's corners turned down, calling my name. If the world worked exactly the way that I think it should, I would be able to take this whole week off from work just to try to have a go with all of them. But alas, reality always checks in Sunday night. I did manage to squeeze in one more treat, however, the fresh granola with pepitas from Cale Ocho in New York City. We fell asleep with all sorts of toasted deliciousness lingering in the air. I still had to get up and go that whole day job thing, but somehow the prospect of something new and better on my morning yogurt made the whole thing a lot more bearable. That and a promise that you, me, and those pumpkin muffins are going to have some quality time together very, very soon. Here's the recipe, spinach quiche, adapted from Bon Appetit from October of 1991. 1/2 recipe of Martha Stewart's pâté brisé, rolled out and pressed into either a pie dish or removable bottom tart pan. If you are a dork like me, you might take the extra scraps, cut them into leaf shapes, and press them about on top of your unbaked quiche, but then your husband might tease you for your fall theme. Well, might. You'll need 1 3-ounce package of cream cheese at room temperature, 1/3 cup of half and half, 3 eggs, 1 10-ounce package from frozen chopped spinach, thawed and drained, 1/2 cup of grated cheddar, 1/4 cup of grated Parmesan, 4 to 6 green onions sliced, 1/4 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. Preheat the oven to 425 degrees Fahrenheit. Beat the cream cheese in a medium bowl until smooth. Gradually beat in half and half and eggs. Mix in the remaining ingredients, pour the mixture into the prepared crust, and bake until the crust is golden brown and filling is set about 25 minutes. Cool 10 minutes before serving. For the Dominican beans, this is adapted from Gourmet of November 2006, you'll need 2 14- to 15-ounce cans of pink or pinto beans, drained and rinsed, 4 cups of water, 1 2-ounce bunch of cilantro without roots, 1 large onion chopped, 2 large garlic cloves chopped, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 3 tablespoons of tomato paste, 1 tablespoon of distilled white vinegar, 1 cubanelle or Italian frying pepper, not spicy, about 4 ounces, halved lengthwise, steam and seeds discarded, 2 Turkish bay leaves or 1 California, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/2 teaspoon of dried oregano, crumbled, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper. You're going to puree half of the beans in a food processor with 1 cup of water until smooth. Tie the cilantro into a tight bundle with string, and then cook the onion and garlic in olive oil in a 5 to 6 quart heavy pot over moderate heat, stirring occasionally until the onion is softened but not brown, about 8 minutes. Add tomato paste, vinegar, and 1 cup of water, and then bring to boil and cook, stirring 2 minutes. Add pureed and whole beans, cubanelle, pepper halves, cilantro, bay leaves, salt, oregano, pepper, and remaining 2 cups of water. Then simmer, uncovered, stirring occasionally, 1.5 hours. The mixture will reduce and thicken in that time. Remove and discard the cubanelle, pepper halves, cilantro, and bay leaves, and then serve. You're going to get 3 for 1 today. The granola, also adapted from Calle Ocho, New York City, via Gourmet Magazine. You'll need 3 cups of old-fashioned rolled oats, 1 cup of sweetened flaked coconut, 1/2 cup of vegetable oil, 1/3 cup of sliced almonds, about 1 ounce, 1/2 cup of chopped walnuts, 1/3 cup of green hulled pumpkin seeds, sometimes called pepitas. That's 1.5 ounce, not roasted. 1/3 cup of packed dark brown sugar, 1/4 cup of mild honey, pinch of cinnamon, a pinch of salt, 1 cup of tart dried cherries, 1/2 cup of dried blueberries, 1/2 cup of dried pears, about 1/4 inch dice on the pears, 1/2 cup of diced dried apricots, also 1/4 inch dice, and 1/3 cup of golden raisins. Accompaniment, sliced bananas, plain yogurt flavored with vanilla extract. You're going to put your oven rack in the middle position and preheat the oven to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. Stir together all ingredients except the fruit in a large bowl until combined. Spread the mixture evenly on a large 17 by 12 inch shallow baking pan and bake, stirring occasionally until golden brown, 30 to 35 minutes. Transfer the granola in the pan to a rack to cool, stirring occasionally about 45 minutes, and then stir in the dried fruit. The granola keeps frozen. The fruit's moisture softens the granola if it's not kept frozen, in an airtight container for 1 month. So the few notes on this one, I got away with 1/3 cup of the vegetable oil instead of 1/2 cup. And I accidentally bought the roasted pepitas, which are, by the way, so tasty, I can't even stop snacking on them. So I mixed them in just as I took it out of the oven, when the sugars were still melted and they gummed to the granola as if they'd been there the whole time. And from the picture, you can tell I just use whatever dried fruits I'm craving. Oh, actually, this isn't entirely true. The store was out of dried cranberries, which is my favorite, so I substituted cherries. I'm still short a lot of dried fruit, but plan to remedy that soon. And the next time I do this, I'm going to line the pan with foil. When the granola came out of the oven, it softened and in smaller pieces, and when I returned 15 minutes later, it was like one giant loosely packed granola bar. This is wonderful as you can break it up into whatever size chunks you like, but bad because it had stuck a bit to the pan, making for an annoying cleanup. Our next recipe is for cinnamon swirl buns and so much news. We're going to skip the news about tax day and talk about Smitten Kitchen is moving. Well, not the URLs, thank God, though in a fit of obsessiveness last week, I decided at once to go on a domain shopping spree, and you can now get here via smittenkitchen.org, smittenkitchen.info, or smittenkitchen.net, along with smittenkitchen.com. Wish I could go on normal people shopping sprees, like for shoes, but as I have alluded to, namely through griping about the packing and the sorting and the boxes, and Lord, the boxes, we have found a new apartment and we're moving this weekend, and we can't wait. I lived in the East Village when I first moved to New York City in 2000, and I'm thrilled to have found an excuse to move back. Perhaps I'll even check out this Trader Joe's you kids are always going on about. But who cares about the neighborhood? Let's get down to the brass tacks. That sound you hear? It's the sky opening up and the angels singing in the new Smitten Kitchen as there is a large white machine whose sole purpose is to wash dishes for us. I can barely handle all of this excitement at once. Alex, who we all know deals with the brunt of the dishes here, is already wondering whether we can just pack up this week's dirty dishes and just wash them when we arrive this weekend. The jury's still out on that one. So that's the good news. The bad news? The kitchen is smaller. Oh, I know those of you with your expansive kitchens with yards of counter space and cabinets aplenty think that our current kitchen was pitifully small, but I'm telling you, for New York City, it was nothing to complain about. It was downright dreamy, and I told it so all the time. The new kitchen is a lot more of what you'd expect on this island, and I'm not going to lie, I'm terrified. Does this mean no more wedding cakes? What about truffle dredging stations? But I know I'll eventually adapt. It is my way. Besides, the floor is adorably checkered, and there's a nice little window. I'm warming to it already. So the Smitten Kitchen is going to Cow Country. People, it has killed me to keep this from all of you all these months, because I could not be more excited if... I just couldn't be more excited. A few days after this weekend's move, Alex and I are packing our blue jeans and our kicks, note to self, buy some kicks, into suitcases and heading out to visit the pioneer woman on her ranch and stay in her lodge. Yes, that ranch. Yes, in that lodge. Ree and I hope to spend the weekend cooking up a storm, city versus country style, while Alex is out in the field, no doubt getting hazed by her two boys for his city slicker ways. There will be pictures. There's butter by the pound. And considering that the closest I've been to cows, perhaps ever, is that blurry picture you see above from upstate New York, blurry because I was skittering away because, wow, cows are tall and kind of scary up close. This trip should be a source of endless amusement for my friends and family, and hopefully you as well. We cannot wait. But there are buns in the ovens. It's true. After pining over Molly Wisenberg's cinnamon rolls with cream cheese glaze for more than a year now, I couldn't take it anymore, and I just baked them up this weekend when I was supposed to be cleaning out my closet. Hot dang, people. Do not wait as long as I did. You will be filled with regret. Yes, I am dodging the subject again, bearing the lead, if you will. There is, you see, an actual bun in the Smitten Kitchen oven. As much as I have tried to deny it, and as much as it is even now not really sunk in yet, evidence has mounted since the beginning of this year in the forum of incomparable adorableness on ultrasound screens, the sudden appeal of stretchy waist jeans, and an incessant need to nap the days away, that we've got a wee little person on the way. I'm due in September, and we are pretty stoked. P.S. You still get cinnamon buns. I mean, when you make your own, I didn't save you any. Cinnamon swirl buns with cream cheese glaze. Here's the recipe. Adapted from Molly, is it Wisenberg? Maybe? Not Wisenberg. Her recipe in Bon Appetit from March of 2008. This makes 18 buns. Note, I did not say servings. That is between you and your buns. So, anyway, for the dough, you'll need 1 cup of whole milk, 3 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 3.5 cups or more of unbleached all-purpose flour divided, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1 large egg, 2¼ teaspoons of rapid rise or instant yeast from 1 envelope yeast, 1 teaspoon salt, and a nonstick vegetable oil spray. For the filling, you'll need 3/4 cups, that's packed, of golden brown sugar, 2 tablespoons of ground cinnamon, 1/4 cup, that's 1/2 stick, of unsalted butter at room temperature, pinch of salt. For the glaze, you'll need 4 ounces of cream cheese at room temperature, 1 cup of powdered sugar, 1/4 cup, which is 1/2 stick, of unsalted butter at room temperature, and 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract. For the dough, combine the milk and butter in a glass measuring cup. Microwave on high until the butter melts and the mixture is just warmed to 120 degrees Fahrenheit to 130 degrees Fahrenheit, about 30 to 45 seconds. You're going to pour into the bowl of a stand mixer fitted with a paddle attachment. Add 1 cup of flour, sugar, egg, yeast, and salt. You're going to beat on low speed 3 minutes, stopping occasionally to scrape down the sides of the bowl. Add an additional 2.5 cups of flour. Beat on low until the flour is absorbed and the dough is sticky, scraping down the sides of the bowl. If the dough is very sticky, you can add more flour by tablespoonfuls until the dough begins to form a ball and pulls away from the sides of the bowl. You're going to turn the dough out into a lightly floured work surface and knead until smooth and elastic, adding more flour if it's sticky, for about 8 minutes. You may also use a KitchenAid's dough hook for this process, and then form it into a ball. Lightly oil large bowl with nonstick spray and transfer the dough to the bowl, turning to coat. Cover the bowl with plastic wrap and then a kitchen towel and let the dough rise in warm, draft-free area until it's doubled in volume. It'll take about 2 hours. For the filling, you're going to mix the brown sugar, cinnamon, and pinch of salt in a medium bowl. Then press down the dough and transfer to a floured work surface. Roll out to 15 by 11 inch rectangle. Spread the butter over the dough, leaving a 1/2 inch border. Sprinkle the cinnamon mixture evenly over the butter. Starting at the longer side, roll the dough into a log, pinching gently to keep it rolled up. And with the seam side down, trim the ends straight if they are uneven. We baked them in a ramekin, which is incapable of discarding such deliciousness. We cut the remaining dough crosswise with a thin, sharp knife, a good serrated, worked well here, and to cut it into 18 equal slices, about 1/2 to 3/4 inch wide. Then you're going to spray 2 9-inch square glass baking dishes, an 8-inch square metal pan worked just fine too, with nonstick spray. Divide the rolls between the baking dishes, arranging the cut side up. There will be almost no space between the rolls. Cover the baking dishes with plastic wrap and then a kitchen towel and let the dough rise in a warm, draft-free area until almost doubled in volume, about 40 to 45 minutes, though yours, like mine, may take longer. And do not skimp on the double rising time. Position the rack in the center of the oven and preheat to 375 degrees Fahrenheit and bake the rolls until the tops are golden about 20 minutes. Remove from the oven and invert immediately onto a rack, cool for 10 minutes, and then turn the rolls right side up. For the glaze, you're going to combine the cream cheese, powdered sugar, butter, and vanilla in a medium bowl and using an electric mixer, beat until smooth. Spread the glaze on the rolls and serve warm or at room temperature. Note, these buns were best the day they were baked. The second day, they were on the tough side. If you anticipate wanting them over a few days, glaze them to order, heating the buns beforehand to soften them up. Our next recipe, we're going to jump over to greensmoothiegirl.com. This is for a healthy, vegan, high-protein cheesecake. Yes, I said it. I'll say it again. Healthy and vegan and high-protein cheesecake. Can't wait to hear this recipe. You don't have to give up enjoying food to eat healthy. You just have to make some adjustments and find some recipes you love. This vegan cheesecake recipe is so easy. It's filling. You could even have a slice for breakfast. And it's not going to spike anybody's blood sugar. You can enjoy yummy and healthy desserts. Imagine how much better you'll feel. Here's the recipe, healthy vegan high protein cheesecake recipe, and cheesecake's in quotes. You can have this for breakfast or dessert. You're going to need 1 can of chickpeas or garbanzo beans, rinsed and drained, or 1.5 cups cooked. 2 cups of cashews, unsalted and unroasted. 7 ounces of organic firm tofu. 1 cup of dates, pitted and chopped. 1 lemon, juiced and zested. Use the fine grater on the cheese grater for the zest. 1 teaspoon of organic vanilla extract. And 1 cup of plant milk, oat, almond, or coconut milk. Blend everything in a blender or a food processor until smooth. Scrape the mixture into a cheesecake baking pan and bake at 350 degrees for 20 minutes. Optional, you can put fresh or canned fruit, pureed fruit, berries, or jam on top. Nuts are excellent for you because they're loaded with nutrients and they're a great way to enjoy healthy fats in your diet. Cashews in particular help strengthen your immune system and serve as health-protecting antioxidants and are heart-healthy. Thank you for joining us for Food and Stuff. Read by Gretchen Miller.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.